I am Julie Willems-Andyke. I will be your moderator today. A quick reminder to silence your phones or other devices so you're not like me and the person in the front row with their phone going off. I would like to introduce, we have an excellent panel today. I will introduce each of them as they come up, and I would first like to introduce you to Dr. Sonia Hutchins, who is the chair of APHA's Science Board, the sponsor of this session. So, Dr. Hutchins.
Thank you very much, Julie. We're very pleased that you are here today and to help us think through, and hopefully at the end of the session we'll have some time, what might be science and policy priorities for APHA's strategic planning process. In addition to serving as the chair of the science board, my day job is a medical advisor in the Office of Minority Health and Health Equity at the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. I'm also an active duty officer in the United States Public Health Service and was very proud to see my Surgeon Generals yesterday. What an inspiration. So at any rate, this particular session is one of the foundational sessions that will help APHA think about what will it take. Yesterday at the same time, and I don't know whether any of you participated, had a chance to attend that session yesterday, but we heard from a Dr. Stephen Wolf, and he provided some sobering information about the U.S. health status. Just put this up to remind us that the findings and conclusions of this presentation are mine and do not necessarily represent the views of the CDC or the Agency for Toxic Substance and Disease Registry. What Dr. Wolf talked about is what we call the U.S. health disadvantage. And what that is that the United States has lost ground in health status for about 50 years. And most people don't even know that that's the case. And a lot of people think it's due to, the diversity of our population and so forth. But that doesn't really completely explain. And when we talk about diversity, we know that there's the health inequities between populations. And again, that doesn't completely explain the U.S. health disadvantage. So think about a baby born in the United States. Our babies that are born live a shorter life than babies born in other high-income countries. 16 high-income countries, to be exact, were compared with the United States. And this has been going on for some time. So in 2011, if you are a male baby, you're going to live 76.3 years. And if you're a female baby, you're going to live 81.1 years. But again, that life expectancy is less than that of people in other high-income countries. Then if you make it to 50 years of age, your health is going to be poorer than people in other high-income countries. This is a report that was released last year, early part of last year, called U.S. and International Health Perspective. And Dr. Wolf, Stephen Wolf, was the chairperson of this report put out by the Institute of Medicine. And again, you know the first part of that paragraph, that the U.S. spends much more money on health care than any other country, yet Americans die sooner and experience more illness than residents in many other countries. While the length of life has improved in the United States, other countries have gained less years, even faster, and our relative standing in the world has fallen over the past half century. And that this U.S. health disadvantage cannot be attributed solely to the adverse health status of racial and ethnic minorities or poor people, because recent studies suggest that even highly advantaged Americans may be in the worse health than their counterparts in other countries. And again, this report is available to the public. You can download it for free, so you don't even have to pay for it. You go to www.iom, and I believe it's .org. So besides the U.S. having disadvantage in compared to other countries, there are differences And life expectancy, as we've been hearing over and over again by counties, and at the state level as well. But I just wanted to show you this map about counties. So what are we doing about this? You know, everybody is familiar with Healthy People 2020 and our vision of a society in which all people can live long, healthy lives and attain a high quality of life and longer lives by achieving health equity, creating social and physical environments that promote health and promote quality of life across the lifespan, considering those determinants of health, which are multiple factors, as you can see on the slide, that interact, and that the Healthy People 2020 have over 1,000 objectives to address these determinants of health. Other things that we're doing besides the Affordable Care Act are a number of initiatives underway. You heard about the National Prevention, for Prevention Strategy, and there's also an action plan that the Surgeon Generals mentioned yesterday. There's also a National Partnership for Action to End Health Disparities, and there are a couple of reports by HHS, and there's a Think Cultural Health site. Just Google Think Cultural Health and they'll come up. The other report that I just want to make you aware of is what's called a Futures Report of Public Health 2030. And in that report, what you'll find are four scenarios about what do we want in the future for public health. And a number of public health professionals were at a workshop in March and indicated that the preferable scenario that we would want in the future is what is called a community-driven health and equity scenario. But the more likely scenario was different. So that's why we have this particular panel today. And again, we look forward to their great work locally and would like to hear about what they're doing in terms of their great work, their accomplishments, and their opportunities and their challenges.